Welcome to episode 3 of the Coquitlam Express Inside Track Podcast. I'm Eddie Gregory, the play-by-play broadcaster of the Coquitlam Express, and alongside with me is Jacob Lazar, the director of communications and all-around very handy tool of this Express organization. In addition to his, you know, handling of the video duties with the Express, and along the social imaging and graphics and all that kind of good stuff. And Jacob, things are going along pretty well for the Express right now.
They are. No need to pump my tires. Like, it's, I understand that you like me, but, you know.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to keep you in a good mood and everything like that. You made your BCHL broadcast debut on the weekend.
I did,
and,
yes.
Good job on Sunday calling the 3-2 overtime victory against the East Surrey Eagles. And, you know, we get to watch a pretty hot hockey team right now. And this team is on quite a roll, coming off a pair of victories on the weekend against the Surrey Eagles, 3-2 in overtime on Sunday, as I mentioned, and 6-1 on Friday night as well against Surrey, with Massimo Rizzo getting his first BCHL hat trick. But, you know, it was all kind of springboarded with a marquee game in this building a week ago when the Penticton Vs were in town, and that was the game featuring the top two teams in the BCHL, and Penticton moved into top spot in the league standings with a victory the night before in Langley. And, you know, there was a lot of anticipation and a lot of excitement going into that one. And, you know, it's one thing to be excited and looking forward to that game. It's another to be ready for the opportunity and deliver. And the Express did exactly that, winning by a score of 7-2 and really, you know, sending a message, I think, league-wide that, you know, the Express have had a great start to the season, but this victory against Penticton probably caught a lot of people's attention.
Yeah, and you know, I think we have to stop saying start to the season. We're halfway through the BCHL season.
I know.
It's flown by. And yeah, I think that was a statement win. And you know, coaches and players always say you treat every game the same, you treat every game the same. But there was definitely that little feeling like, oh, we would love to win this game. We would love to make that statement and beat the Penticton Vs, take first place back over, cement ourselves as a team in that first overall spot. And there was that feeling, and I think it worked out well because the guys showed up. They put together a very solid 60-minute effort, and Penticton looked like they were chasing the game for most of that.
And that's just it, right? I mean, you know, you can maybe sense a little early on in that hockey game that, I don't know if nerves is the right term, but, you know, Penticton started a little quick. They got the game's first power play, and, you know, the Express settled into the game. They killed off that penalty, and, you know, Clay Stevenson obviously shut the door early on in that one, and then the Express slowly started to take over the game. And, you know, part of the reason why the Express were so successful against Penticton is because they did a lot of things right. You know, you look at that first goal of the game, you see Josh Woldauer batting behind the net, a good low to high play to the point to Drew Cooper, and then the point right in front of the net, winning the battle and potting home a loose puck. And, you know, what I liked about the Express in that game is, you know, they got goals from some dirty areas as well. And LaPointe got his second of the night early in the second period, right at the side of the net, again off a good low to high play. And, you know, they pulled away with their power play, which has been so deadly at times this season. And, you know, Gregor with a nice finish to make it a 3-0 game. I mean, top to bottom, you can see a lot of little things that the Express did right, that they deserved the victory. And eventually it allowed the game to pull away for the Express. And Penticton eventually got frustrated, and the Express beat them on the scoreboard.
Yes, and I think it's a good thing to keep in mind that this Express team, when they're really on, they rely on some skill and they rely on some depth, but it really comes down to buying into to winning those battles, to not being pushed around physically. When this Express team is, I don't want to say playing rough, because that's not necessarily what it is. It's just a matter of playing bigger than you might necessarily be, if that makes any sense. Guys, winning those battles, not getting pushed off pucks easily, forcing the other teams to exert extra effort just to make those basic plays. And you see that with aggressiveness on the forecheck. You see that by finishing body checks. You see that with tenacity on the penalty kill. And when this Express team is having their success, it's because they're doing all those little things.
And that kind of translated into the game on Friday against Surrey. It was obviously highlighted with Massimo Rizzo getting his first BCHL hat trick. But you look at some of the other goals that the Express got in that game as well. Again, that's more scoring from dirty areas, whether it be Ethan O'Rourke tying the game at one at the side of the net. And, you know, I was on the call, and I wasn't definitively sure when that puck went into the net as to who scored the goal, whether it be Ethan O'Rourke, who buried his own rebound, or Josh Woldauer, who was right there as well at the side of the net, taking a swing in that puck. And, you know, you also saw Woldauer poke home a loose puck in the third period to make it a 5-1 game again, with the Express creating all kinds of havoc in front of the opposition net. So, you know, the Express can beat you with their skill, but they can also beat you by you know, getting bodies to the dirty areas. And that's, you know, part of the buy-in that Jason Forte has been trying to build this season.
100%. And, you know, yeah, they can beat you with the skill, too. If you saw Massimo Rizzo, obviously he had a little gimme there for his third of the night. But he scored a couple nice ones to kick it off. And Greg LaPointe assaulting a water bottle on the power play was definitely a memorable one as well. And I, what I loved most about that game, and it's echoing what you said, scoring the nice goals, scoring the pretty goals, but then scoring those hard-working goals too. And they all count the same. And then when you're really pressing and teams know they can't just shut down your top line, they can't just force you to the outside because you'll find ways to get pucks into those dirty areas and grind it away, it's deflating to try and defend that.
And you talk about Greg LaPointe assaulting water bottles. Well, he's done a lot of that in his first season here in the BCHL. He's up to, 17 goals on the season after scoring on Sunday against Surrey as well. And he had a beautiful shot walking in off the wall against Surrey on Friday night. He had a beautiful shot against Penticton. I mean, you know, Greg LaPointe has arguably one of the best shots, wrist shots, in the entire BC Hockey League, I'd argue, at this point in time.
Yeah, and when I was broadcasting Sunday's game on the call there, I mentioned that after his goal, and I said, like, if you are another team in this league, you need to be weary of Greg LaPointe giving him time and space. And what happened was Surrey turned a puck over, and LaPointe had room to take three or four steps in and release a wrist shot, and good luck trying to stop it when he gets that time and space. And that goal plus the one the game before in Surrey, the one against Penticton, all led to a very great honor for Greg LaPointe, and he was named the BCHL Subway Player of the Week.
Yeah, and that's the second time this season that the Express have had a player get the Player of the Week honors. But, you know, those honors come as a result of team success as well. And, you know, Clay Stevenson got one earlier in the season, but the Express also got an honorable mention this week with Massimo Rizzo and Connor Grega getting honorable mentions of the BCHL Player of the Week. And at the end of the day, the individual awards are coming as a result of the collective team success, and that's probably a fair statement about this Express team as well. Well, we're pleased to welcome in the BCHL Player of the Week, Greg LaPointe. And first off, Greg, congratulations. What does that honor mean to you?
Thanks. For sure it's a big honor. You don't get that every day. And my teammate played a big role in that honor, and I wouldn't be here if they weren't there without me.
Yeah, I mentioned that obviously you being on a line with Joshua Wildauer, who was an honorable mention, I thought that the way you guys played together was a big reason why you were able to get the Player of the Week. And it's awesome that you're obviously mentioning your teammates. It is a team game first, but it was a great week from you. Scored a couple nice goals that will remain on the highlight reels throughout the rest of the season.
Thanks, yeah. Willie brings a lot of energy, like you said, and that's what I like from him. But also Coop's really smart with the puck, and we can find each other on the ice.
Does Coop get enough credit for what he contributes to this team?
I think he should get more credit. He's a bit underrated, but he's actually a great player to play with.
Just take me through when he's dropping the gloves with Danny Wade at center ice last week against Penticton. I mean, what's going on the bench there at that moment?
Well, Coop, we all know that Coop's not, like, really tough in the room or anything, but he brought a lot of energy with that fight, and I think everyone was surprised that he actually did a pretty good fight there and surprised everyone.
Were you on the ice or were you on the bench at that moment? I don't recall. I just remember seeing the center ice area clear, and next thing you know, it's Coop and Danny.
I was on the bench on that rock. He was on the left wing, and I just remember looking at Forge, and then everyone's yelling on the bench. I turned back, and Coop was just fighting with Danny Wade.
So looking at the games against Surrey, you were teammates with their goaltender, Tommy Scarfoni, at Stanside College. So what was it like to pot a couple goals past them, and what was your interaction with him afterwards?
It's always fun to score on one of your old teammates. I think he didn't really like the way I looked at him after my goal, and still doesn't talk to me. He still hasn't talked to me yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think he's still, he's a little bit mad.
A little bit mad now.
Yeah.
How much work have you put in on your wrist shot over the course of, you know, your time coming up here to Coquitlam?
Well, after every practice, I try to stay on longer, always be the first one on the ice. And
we're aware.
Yep.
Yeah, and just practice on my shot. Even if no one's on the ice, just shoot, 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 and it just makes it better.
What personal goals do you have for yourself here? And we're already at the halfway point of the season. What, obviously, everyone's going to say they want to win a championship.
Yeah.
But what do you feel like you can do to help contribute to that? What goals have you set for yourself for the rest of the season?
Well, I think Coach Fortier brought me here to score goals and create offensive like chances. I think I've been doing that in the past game, and I just need to keep doing it. Also, getting a commitment would be a big thing for me. That's pretty much it.
Have you even maybe exceeded your own personal expectations coming into this year with your success in this first half so far?
Yeah, I wouldn't think I was going to be successful like that. But like I said, my teammates are helping me a lot in that process.
How much fun is just the group having you in the room right now? I mean, obviously 24-5 speaks for itself, but you have to be having a lot of fun along the way too. Just take us inside that room. Just how much are you enjoying just collectively what this year has been all about so far and what you're trying to build?
Well, this is actually my first time that the group is actually so tight together. Like even at night, we don't have to be together and we're always hanging out together. We go to dinner together even if we don't have to. We're just so tight. Everyone's always at the rink until like 5, and then we go home with our families, build families, etc. And I think just the attitude we have, it's positive. We're winning, so there's no negativity. And just the attitude the guys have towards each other.
Well, Greg, thank you very much for joining us here. Again, congratulations, Subway BCHL Player of the Week. You're the second Express player to get it this season. Big honor and much deserved.
Thanks a lot. Means a lot to me.
Without that contribution from Joshua Wildauer, Greg LaPointe doesn't reach those heights. It's a great team effort, and it was awesome to see not only Greg LaPointe winning that, but the first two honorable mentions, both Coquitlam Express players as well.
And you mentioned Josh Wildauer as well. I mean, we've seen him a lot over the course of his time here with the Express. He's in his third year with the team. He's named an alternate captain prior to the season, but, you know, he sets such a high example for his work ethic and, you know, just the way he competes game in and game out. And, you know, I've mentioned this to you a number of times over the course of the last 10 days or so. He's quietly a very consistent point producer. He's not a true, you know, point per game guy, but he very rarely goes two games without a point. And, you know, he had a bit of a rough start to the season, obviously getting hurt in literally his first shift of the season in Langley, and it took him a little while to get going after missing about 3 weeks of action. But, you know, probably Josh Wildauer would be safe to say that, you know, he's really starting to feel at the point where he was hoping to be right when the season started.
Yeah, for sure. And he looked really good this past week, and he's always got a smile on his face. And you know, even if he wasn't producing points, you know he's going to be leading that team in the room. He's going to have that presence of a BCHL veteran, a guy who's going to go off to college next year, a guy that teammates look up to. And then when you throw in consistent production, it only adds to what is Joshua Wildauer.
And just one last little thing going back to Greg LaPointe, and, you know, he put it on display a couple of times last week on a couple of his goal, or at least his chances anyways, is that little shimmy shake that he's made coming off the half wall. He did it late in the third period against Penticton last Wednesday, made a nice move to basically undress a Penticton defender and put a backhand off the crossbar, and then he did a similar type thing for his goal against Surrey on Friday where he undressed Brandon Santawana, and just his little shiftiness, you know, to get past a defender walking in off the wall is a crafty little thing that makes Greg LaPointe so dangerous as well.
And he's got some sneaky speed, too. When he gets going up that wing along the boards, he can get around guys pretty quickly. And I say it's sneaky because he has that ability to turn that extra gear on when he needs to.
Well, that's just it, right? I mean, we've seen him, you know, really put the foot on the gas and really jump into the play when, you know, he really has, you know, 100 feet, 150 feet to try and move his feet up the ice and jump up into a play. And, you know, certainly the speed of Greg LaPointe has been a big factor as well. And that kind of carries us over into looking forward to the next part of the Express schedule as they're participating right now in their season high 8-game homestand. And obviously with the Express with a record of 24-5 on the season, they've put themselves in a very good spot, you know, sitting in first place overall in the BCHL standings. But also they've creating some separation between themselves and the rest of the pack in the BCHL's mainland division, and another opportunity to try and improve on that with a big game coming up on Friday with the Chilliwack Chiefs coming into town. And this will be the fourth time that these two teams have met. The Express are 2-1 against Chilliwack this season, including a victory on home ice. But, you know, still at the end of the day, you know that Chilliwack is going to be looking to, you know, they're going to put a focus on trying to be that team to hand the Express their first home loss of the season. And Chilliwack has made some roster additions recently, and, you know, it's setting up to be another big game in this building on Friday.
Yeah, I think Chilliwack will bring their absolute best effort here on Friday. It's going to be a great game. That Chiefs team has been interesting this year, because you watch their results or you watch their games, and sometimes they look like an elite team, and that team last year that finished first in the BCHL in the regular season. And then some games you see, something just seems to be off. I don't think something will be off when they show up here on Friday. The first game that these two teams played in this building was an overtime win for the Express. I think they're evenly matched, and I obviously think the Express have a great opportunity to make another statement with that game, much like the one over Penticton, much like the back-to-back wins against Surrey. It's hard to beat teams in back-to-back games in this league. So building on that momentum, it should be a great game to watch on Friday, and I think that if the Express show up, play their game, it's going to be tough for Chilliwack to come in here and try and break this streak.
But also, Chilliwack's going to be a pretty hungry team as well, as the Express handled the Chiefs pretty well the last time these two teams met a few weeks ago out in Chilliwack, a 5-1 Express victory, including a period where the Express had Chilliwack without a shot on their home ice in Chilliwack a number of weeks ago.
Yes, and I know you weren't there for that game. I was, and I couldn't really believe it up in the press box when I was seeing that. And that's what I mean. That Chilliwack team, when they came here, and also that third period when the Express were there for the showcase, you saw that Chiefs team. You're like, wow, these guys, they work well as a team. They're winning their battles. They're being aggressive. They're making good puck plays. We saw that when they were here. And then for a big stretch of that game last time the Express were in Chilliwack, you wondered what was going on, because it was something you're just not used to seeing out of that Chiefs team. I'm not going to say that we should expect that out of Chilliwack. They're a much better team than what they showed that game in Chilliwack.
I mean, there's certainly a lot of pride within that organization, and that'll carry into, after that game on Friday, into one of the always fun nights on any junior hockey schedule, or even any hockey schedule. They do it in various levels of hockey. Obviously, the holiday season is just around the corner. It's, you know, it's less than a month now until Christmas, hard to believe, but yep. The Express are having their annual teddy bear toss on Sunday afternoon when the Express will play host to the Nanaimo Clippers, and that's always a fun night here in this building.
It will. It will be a really fun afternoon and evening, of course. And last year, Powell River was in town, and the Express made quick work. I think they scored 4 minutes into the game to get those teddies tossed. So that's always what you're a little bit nervous about. You know, you want to get it over with. Score on your first shot if you can, and then you just feel relaxed the rest of the way. And but yeah, it's always fun, and it's such a great cause when you know that anything that gets donated is going to end up with families who really would appreciate that, and children who otherwise might have not been able to receive Christmas presents. And I personally love the whole Teddy Bear Toss initiative, because it really allows a hockey team and a hockey community to give back to those who really need it. And while I'm on that, I also want to mention the Andreas Project, which is run by our videographer, George. It's a charity that raises money and clothing and toiletries for those in the downtown east side. And they're going to be here on Sunday accepting donations as well. So make sure if you're coming to this game, bring some new pairs of socks or a scarf or a toque or something, because it's a very important cause that means a lot to this Express team. So we're going to be giving back in multiple ways on Sunday.
That's a very, very nice gesture. And correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't last year when the Express were in Nanaimo and the Express shut them out on a shutout by Clay Stevenson, I believe 3-0 was the score, wasn't that Nanaimo's teddy bear toss
night?
Yeah,
I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up, because now the hockey gods are going to try and get their revenge. I remembered that when our teddy bear toss was scheduled, and I thought, oh no, that's not going to line up well. But I think this Express team should have no problem scoring a goal on Sunday.
And then carrying into the month of December, the Express is going to be without a couple of key bodies, but for a very good reason,
yes,
as Massimo Rizzo and Conor Gregga have been invited to selection camp for the upcoming World Junior A Challenge coming up in December in Dawson Creek. And Massimo Rizzo took part in that tournament last year as a member of the Penticton Vs, and there's a lot of expectation that Rizzo will be part of Team Canada West again, and just based on how his play has really shot up over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks or so since coming back into the lineup, certainly expect him to be there. But it's also a great opportunity for Conor Gregga, who's really earned, really worked for everything that he's gotten since coming here to Coquitlam prior to last season, and a well-deserved opportunity for both those guys.
Yeah, and you can say what you want about Massimo Rizzo. He's an elite talent. He's been drafted in the NHL for a reason, and he's healthy now, and he's showing what he can do when he is healthy. I would be shocked if he is not on that Canada West team. He was there last year. I believe he's either the only or one of only two players from last year that are actually returning for camp this year, if I'm not mistaken. I remember seeing something along those lines. So I would fully expect him to be there. And I think if Gregga can show up, and obviously he's got great chemistry with Massimo Rizzo, those two have been line mates for the bulk of this season, I honestly think Gregga's got an opportunity. It's tough as a 19-year-old because there's a limit. I believe it's 5 19-year-olds can make that team. But if Gregga shows what he's capable of, and obviously he, much like Massimo, a leader on this team, wears a letter, and is a guy that's going to work hard and compete, I would love for Conor Gregga to get that opportunity. He's grown so much in his year and a half here in the BCHL. Obviously, coming in out of Ontario, he was playing Junior B in Ontario, in a very good Junior B league, we should add, but then makes his way to the BCHL, earns himself an NCAA commitment from the now number one ranked Minnesota State Mavericks, and now with an opportunity to show up to a Hockey Canada camp and try and earn his way onto a team that would be representing the Maple Leaf, and I'm sure that's awesome for Conor Gregga right now.
And anyone who ever takes part in those type of tournaments, whether it be the World Junior A Challenge or other Hockey Canada events, I mean, those are marquee events that create experiences and memories that'll last a lifetime no matter how it goes. So certainly, hopefully, it's a great opportunity for both those guys, and hopefully they spend some time up in Dawson Creek for a little while. We hope that Gregga and Rizzo are away for a little while representing the Express organization and the BCHL as a whole, which does a fantastic job of helping supply talent for that tournament.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, the one time you're okay with losing two first-liners is when they're wearing a maple leaf on their chest. So we wish them the best of luck.
And I think on that note, we will shut her down for Episode 3 of the Coquitlam Express Inside Track broadcast. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to it today with us, and hopefully you'll make some plans to join us here at the rank of the Poirier Sports and Leisure Complex. For Jacob Lazar, I'm Eddie Gregory, saying goodbye.